Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
He leads away. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. My name is Emily Collin.
And my name's Laura Jolly.
And this week's guest is Darcy Brown. So Darcy is an 18-year-old fast bowler from South Australia who took the WBBL by storm and most recently made her T20 international debut in New Zealand. But before we get to Darcy, LJ, there are a few talking points to emerge out of the T20 series against the White Ferns that unfortunately finished at a locked at 1-1 after rain ruined the decider in Auckland. But firstly, Elise Perry. So there was a lot of discussion around Elise's future in that T20 side after she didn't play a huge role, particularly with the ball.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. She was always going to be an automatic selection in that side, given a record, but the first T20 was the first time since 2015 that she didn't get a bowl in a T20 for Australia. And she only bowled one over in the second match before the third was obviously a washout. And she continued to come in at number six, which is the role she's played in that lineup for now. So a few people were questioning about, you know, how a player of Elise's calibre is only contributing that much and what the thinking is there. But her teammates have backed her in all the way, saying she's, of course, coming back from a serious injury. Meg Lanning also pointed out that she tends to bowl up front and in the middle overs, and they have so many options for that now. So Pez has got to work on perhaps being able to bowl at all points in the innings and on her death bowling. But they're all backing her, and they reckon she'll have a much bigger role to play in the ODIs, where she is the world's top-ranked ODI all-rounder.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll see plenty of classic Pez innings and Pez just digging in the ODIs. So before the series, Captain Meg spoke about the team just being conscious of adjusting, making that adjustment from quarantine to playing in international cricket. So they came away with the win in the first T20, but there were certainly some shaky moments early on, particularly in that batting chase.
Yeah, there sure was. It wasn't looking great at 3 for 14, but Ashley Gardner stepped up and was very level-headed, scoring 73 from 48, and she got the Aussies home with 2 overs to spare in the end. And then they moved on to Napier, didn't they?
Yep. So it was great to see Darcy Brown, before that match even started, receive her cap from Megan Shute, who was very entertaining as always. And it was also great to see Darcy pick up a wicket on debut. So the girls were up and about with that. But yeah, that was probably the highlight of the day for the Aussies, as the result didn't go their way, as White Ferns, led by Frankie Mackay, managed to chase down what probably was a below par total of 129 off the final ball of the day. So it was a nail biter, but we didn't even get to see the series decider.
No, we didn't. Unfortunately, only 2.5 overs were bowled in Auckland and it was washed out, which sadly ended a pretty remarkable streak for Australia, who had won every T20 series or tournament they'd played since early 2018. They still remain undefeated throughout that period, but unfortunately just couldn't quite claim the trophy outright.
But the attention now shifts to the Rose Bowl series. So we've got 3 ODIs in Mount Maunganui, which is a favourite destination of the Aussies. So there's been lots of chatter, obviously, around the opportunity that the Australians have to break the world record for the most consecutive ODIs won that they currently share with Ricky Ponting's team, who won 21 in a row back in 2003. So listening to the team speak, it's pretty clear that it's not their main focus, but I'm sure like there's no doubt that they'd all recognise the significance of the record if they do manage to break it.
Yeah, they've been pretty clear that they're not treating this upcoming game as any different to any other they've played, but they obviously always want to win, and they have acknowledged that this really does prove the consistency of the group over such a long period of time. It was a streak that started back in 2018 at the start of the year in India. Since then, they've beaten Pakistan, New Zealand, England, West Indies at home and away. So winning in all conditions across such a long period of time really is a show of how strong a team is. The one thing they are missing is that World Cup, though, and that's something they'll be determined to win in a year's time in New Zealand.
Yep, so the ODI series against the White Ferns starts tomorrow. Remember, you can watch that series live on Foxtel and KO. And a hot tip, if you don't have KO or Foxtel, KO do actually offer a 14-day free trial. So if you head to cricket.com.au and sign up through there, you'll be able to watch that series for free. But for now, here's Darcy Brown. Alrighty, and we are joined on the scoop today by recent Aussie debutant Darcy Brown, who made her T20 debut on Tuesday. Darcy, thank you for joining us today. Are you able to firstly just talk us through that day, and when did you find out you'd be playing in the green and gold?
So I found out the day before, and I was pretty nervous, and, you know, I was lucky to have, you know, all the girls have actually gone through, like, you know, debuting and stuff, so they know how I felt. So it was pretty reassuring that they had my back, and, yeah, I was just pretty nervous.
Great. And what was it like calling your friends and family back home to tell them what was happening? And were they pretty pumped for you?
Yeah, they were. I think my dad was on he was just getting ready for night shift. So I just caught him in time. And mum had finished work, and my brother was at a camp working. So I had to call him a bit later. So it was all a bit disjointed, but they were pretty pumped for me.
Nice, nice. And how did it feel eventually running out in the green and gold?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. Felt kind of like a dream, and it was sad we didn't win, but it was pretty cool to run out on the oval with those girls.
And we saw a really nice cap presentation from Megan Shute. So how's it been having two of your Scorps teammates, Megan and Tully, on tour with you?
Yeah, it's been really good for my first tour to have those two around. I've been able to kind of just hang off their shoulder and just see what happens and what everyone does, and kind of hang out with them when I don't really know what to do or where to go. It's just been really good to have those two with me.
How are you finding life on tour so far?
Yeah, it's really cool. This is the second time I've been to New Zealand, second time I've ever been overseas. So
nice.
It's cool to be able to travel. We've done a few long road trips kind of thing, and, yeah, it's just been cool to see the country basically.
That's so cool. And I think you were talking the other day, former Aussie fast bowler Ryan Harris is over there as a bowling coach. How have you found working with him, and is there anything you've been working on with him?
Yeah, he's been great. We've kind of just been talking about our plans to bowlers and about how, you know, I got whacked in that last over, and we were talking about, like, how, you know, what I could change or how I can come back from that. And he was kind of happy that I didn't get too flustered about it. And, we've just been working on, just plans and what fields go to with what balls and stuff like that.
And you guys have a bit of a connection from Gawler, is it?
Yeah, Gawler. So he's from, he went to Trinity, and he played at Salisbury, where I play at the moment, club cricket in South Australia. So, yeah, it's cool to have him, kind of be there as well.
There you go. And Darcy, we've heard a few mentions from you about chicken schnitzels. Are they your favourite food?
Oh, I don't know how this has become a thing, but the girls kind of stitch me up because I'm a bit of a fussy eater.
Oh.
It's usually my go-to,
Go-to. What else do you usually have on the menu?
Oh, not a lot else, actually. probably a bit of pasta or, I don't know, what else? A bit of burgers. I've been trying Thai lately, so I've gone a nice. Bit out of the box. So, yeah.
That's great. And forgive my pronunciation if this isn't right, but you're from Kapunda in South Australia?
Yeah, nearly got it. Kapunda.
Kapunda. Yeah, what's your hometown like and how did you get into cricket back there?
So it's a pretty, well, it's not too small, I don't think. It's like 2,000 or 3,000 people that live there, and we're kind of, all of us are there are really sports crazy and, you know, play on Saturdays, play footy and netty, and then in the summer, you know, Wednesday, Monday nights was basketball, and then Saturdays was cricket if you played, or tennis. So yeah, we just kind of love our sport there, and kind of a big family back home. So yeah, I've loved growing up there, and yeah, just yeah, love that place. Really
nice. Are all your family still back in Kapunda?
Oh, we kind of live in between the joint, so we go, it's like a few of us live in Kapunda and a few of us live in Adelaide, and we go travel up and back and forth yeah, whenever we can.
Yeah, nice. And you went to school in Kapunda, is that right?
Yeah, until year 10 I moved to Adelaide. So
nice. And yeah. What was Darcy Brown like going through school? You were a studious kid, well behaved, a bit naughty.
I like to say I was pretty well behaved, but yeah, I wasn't very studious. I kind of just, you know, went to school to see friends and just sort of got the job done. But yeah, they're not very academic, I wouldn't have thought.
And we saw you during the WBBL Hub trying to do your year 12 studies while you're in there. And how did you find that experience?
It was a bit weird, but I actually didn't do a whole lot in the Hub because I did a fair bit outside the Hub because I knew that I'd be pretty tired during it and yeah, just kind of back to what I had done before I'd come to the place and just kind of revised a little bit. But yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking doing exams and stuff there, but it wasn't too bad.
And so when you were in the Hub, did you sort of keep in touch with all your schoolmates back home? Were you sort of speaking to them pretty regularly?
Yeah, pretty much. I was just asking them, you know, what they've done that week in some classes and stuff, or just like asked about the goss that's happening, and just kind of tried to keep it, you know, the same as what it would be when I was back there.
And speaking of the WBBL, how did you find your first season in blue?
Yeah, it was really cool. I was lucky enough to have the season beforehand just to, you know, learn and see what, you know, the setup was about. And, yeah, I just really loved it and just happy to be able to have that opportunity to even play and, yeah, just have those legends of the game around me. So,
and so when you were growing up playing cricket, Darcy, did you barrack for the Strikers?
Yeah, I did. I loved them. I mean, I might not have known who played for them, but I used to just go for the photos and the autographs, and I used to sit by the runway of the men's and try and get on the big screen. I mostly did every game, so yeah, I really loved it.
And do you remember much about the first season of WBBL and whether you went and watched any games?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I did. It was a while ago now, but we had a few of the girls that played in the Strikers in my club team, so it was cool to like be able to play with them. And yeah, I think I said in another interview before that I took one of the girls' helmets, Strikers' helmets, out of her bag at club and took photos in it to pretend that I was playing for them. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
It's awesome. And did you have a favourite cricketer that you looked up to when you were growing up?
Not really, because, yeah, I suppose I just would just love the autographs and the photos. So I would just, yeah, get around it all really. And, yeah, I didn't really have a favourite player, I suppose. I think I've got quite a few photos of Kieran Pollard. That was probably, that was an indication, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't have a favourite.
And so, Darcy, not only are you a gun cricketer, you're also a netballer and a footy player. So what is it about cricket that you love so much that you've decided to stick with cricket for now?
Well, probably because it's so different to footy and netball. I suppose it's a bit slower and you think about it, well, you can think about it more and longer, and I suppose I've been given these really cool opportunities as well. Like, wouldn't have thought I'd be sitting here in New Zealand. Yeah, it's just pretty surreal that the opportunities that I've been, given from cricket. So it's pretty cool.
And I guess you must be a fan of team sports. What do you like about being part of a team?
Oh, I suppose it's that, you know, that family sort of aspect, and, you know, you have a fair few bit of banter with all the teammates, and, yeah, just the different, I suppose, friendships you can gain from team sports, and you know, I'm still heaps good friends with even when I played basketball, and I've loved the team sport aspects.
And are you still planning on playing a bit of football and netball over the next little bit, or are you going to mainly focus on cricket?
Well, I'm not playing footy at the moment, but I'm planning on playing netty this season, so we'll see how that goes. So hopefully I can give it a crack, and I just love it.
What position do you play?
I play centre or wing defence usually.
And I think you told us in the WBBL Hub that you were studying netball. Can you just explain that a little bit more?
So at my school, it was we didn't actually do a whole lot of like netball training and stuff. It was more like the assignments were like injury prevention for netball, and like the nutritions before games, and kind of, you know, the psychology to do with netball. It's like, heaps of stuff. And I think we did coaching and planned sessions for younger girls and stuff like that, which was pretty cool.
Nice. That sounds super cool.
Yeah. Handy.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us on The Scoop, Darcy. It's great to get to know you, and we can't wait to see plenty more of you in the green and gold in the future.
Thanks, heaps.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.